Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our appearance, our appearance, our appearance.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Yeah, let's talk truth. Hey, let's talk truth, let's talk truth.
This is Lois Bullock, and you've just listened to Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God.
Hey, everyone. We are now on the set of Let's Talk Truth radio broadcast. And we're just saying how happy we are to be here today and to welcome our guest here and to talk about a subject that I believe it would be helpful if we would actually recognize it within ourselves. But a lot of us, we're not going to be honest enough with ourselves to say that we fall in that category. Today, we're going to be talking about, am I ungrateful or what? A lot of people be, maybe I'm the or what, but I am not ungrateful. But basically, everybody is ungrateful to a certain extent. We're going to examine ungratefulness in the business world. We're going to examine ungratefulness in the home, family, and the church. Can you believe you can be ungrateful in all those areas? So we're just here to welcome everybody that's here today. Louise is here today. We just thank her for being here on the set. We also have one of our profound authors and stand-up comedians and motivational speaker here today, Mr. Motivator. And we also have Kennedy. She's going to be here in our midst today. We're talking about, am I ungrateful or what? And I think that Kennedy can probably shed some light on ungrateful kids when they are blessed with one thing, but they don't appreciate it. And I know she's kind of run into that somewhere, and we try to teach her to be grateful in all that we have. Okay, now, in our segment today, we're just going to attempt to express some words of wisdom on the act of ungratefulness that we consistently exhibit throughout our everyday lives. I'm going to ask a question. You can answer it throughout this broadcast. You can answer it right now to yourself. But is it ungrateful to try to get more than what we have been gifted with? In other words, is it ungrateful just because I have a gift and my gift is free? I didn't do anything to get it. I really didn't do anything to deserve it, but yet I'm gifted with it. But I'm not content with that. I want more and more. So I'm just going to shove that gift to the side and try to get more and more and more and more. And that really affects us in a negative manner if we'll just really listen to it and talk about it. So we're going to do that. So we're going to try to connect our thoughts with your thoughts, and we're going to come up with something basic guideline for truth in this segment. Am I ungrateful or what? Louise, what do you have to say about it, being ungrateful?
I say, like you said earlier, everyone is ungrateful to an extent. A lot of times what happens, we feel like we have that sense of entitlement. We feel like we deserve more than what we get. And so that's what makes us ungrateful. You know, so sometimes when you know that you should be grateful for what you have, but then you look over at what Ant has, and you want to compare what you have to what they have, and it's always going to be someone that's going to have more than what you have, and someone's going to always have less.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get to that point where we're not comparing ourselves to other people,
mm-hmm.
we can learn to be grateful for what we have.
Exactly. I've been put in certain situations. I try my best not to be ungrateful. Now, I have in the past, because I can remember growing up, we didn't have a lot of money for shoes and clothes. When it was my time to get shoes, our shoes at school, my sister would settle for some cheap shoes, but I wouldn't. I would cry and kick and moan and groan until I got the shoes that I wanted. Ungrateful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a time to mature before you learn that's not a good way to be, and that's not cute at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to the place where I despise ungratefulness. I really do. So, Mr. Motivator, I know you've done your book, Success is an Attitude. So how do you encompass that success in an attitude with an ungrateful attitude? Does that help towards success, or does it hinder success, do you think?
An ungrateful attitude hinders success, because an ungrateful attitude pushes people away. An ungrateful attitude takes a positive situation and turns it in to a negative situation. Give you an example. The traffic. I noticed the other day there was a lady, older lady, who was in her car, and another car in front of her had stalled out. Now, this lady, and there were other cars that sat behind this particular lady, the police came, and they were trying to move the cars into lanes to go around the stalled car. Some of the people, once they got over in the next lane, all they had to do was let one car in front of them, and the traffic just started to
flow better.
Okay, but there was one individual that did not want to let this older lady in front of them. And the lady was trying to get out. She sat there for hours, and they could have slowed down and let her cut in front of them, and then the traffic would have deteriorated. It would have moved on. But people who are ungrateful, the car that wouldn't let that older lady get in front of them, someone let that car get in front of them.
Exactly.
Okay, but they didn't. They were so ungrateful, they didn't appreciate who let them into the next lane, and therefore their attitude was, nobody else is going to cut in front of me. I'm not going to let anybody get over.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got close to the lady, I slowed down and I let her cut in front of me to get out from around that stalled car. That's an example of people that are ungrateful. They don't want anyone in their circle. They don't want to share anything.
They really want to be the only one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you used the word a minute ago, Louise, when you said entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
People feel that they're entitled
mm-hmm.
to everything.
That's right.
And they don't realize that the downfall in your life comes when you feel you're entitled to something,
mm-hmm.
but you're not in the position to handle what you're trying to do.
Right.
And I think if we would have one word in mind first, you've got to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That word love is a big part of living. In fact, it's the only thing that separates us from the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
yes.
The grateful from the ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to a point where if you love yourself enough, you're not pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in, I say this all the time, and I must bring it to mind right now before we go further. I tell everybody that when I come on the air, I'm not here to preach to anybody. But I do say this, what we talk about, truth can only be God's truth. And if we don't get God's truth, then we're sharing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We're merely sharing our opinion. So when we say this show is called Let's Talk Truth, and if I'm going to tell the truth, I have to encompass the word of God in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only time we can come to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if truth be told, the word of God teaches us how to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches us how to love somebody enough not to be the only showcase, not to be want us to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
You find ungrateful people, they want to be the only one.
Yes. Right.
We don't stop to think about what I'm trying to do. Can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we don't think about that. All we think about, this is what I want to do. I don't care who has to help me do it. I don't care who I have to rob to do it, because I'm going to do it. You know, sometimes I wish people who depended on people, which is everybody, would stop and realize, what does it take for another person to bless you? What are you taking from that person? See, I really don't think that ungrateful people realize how much you take from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You take another person's time. You take another person's money. You take another person's clothes, everything. You take it from that person,
mm-hmm.
but you're so ungrateful,
mm-hmm.
you don't give anything back because you just want to do what you want to do when you want to do it, whether you can afford it or not.
That's right.
And this is where we're getting to the point of being truly ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember when I was growing up, I could not wait. I used to envision myself being a grown female woman, you know, being grown up, being out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think about was what I saw on TV. You see a woman, she's got her own car, she's got her own house, her own apartment. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Could I afford those things? No. But I still wanted those things. And you want it to a point where I'm going to go out there and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get out there and get it, who has to pay for it?
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for it. But if you don't pay for it, someone else is going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to realize, are my actions really and totally ungrateful? And I'm going to tell you something. The charity begins at home and spreads what?
Abroad.
So if I start out being an ungrateful kid, guess where I'm taking that ungratefulness to? Into the business world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it into the church. I'm taking it everywhere I go. How do you lose ungratefulness? You know, you have to get to a point where you need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a point of change, and that's the only way you lose ungratefulness. You have to change it. You have to change who you are. And to change who you are, you have to change what's important to you. You have to change what's important to you. Go ahead.
I agree with you on that, Lois. I think sometimes we can be so ungrateful and be insensitive
mm-hmm.
to how we treat people.
Mm-hmm.
Give you another example. A friend, it could be a friend or relative, gives you a call. Hi, Lois. This is Bob. And do you have a minute? Well, Bob, I got just a minute because I'm going to pick up my daughter. I have something very important to do, and I must be at a particular place by a certain time. And Bob goes, okay, well, look, let me tell you about such and such, Lord. And then, Lord, you know, it was this, and Lord, I tell you that, and this was this, and that was that. And all of a sudden, they've taken 30 minutes
of your time
and caused you to be late for your appointment or whatever commitment that you had to honor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an ungrateful person because you're not respectful of someone else's time because you want to talk about you and what you're excited about. And you think everybody should just want to drop what they're doing, even if it's something of utmost importance because you have something that everybody wants to hear. And
because it's something that's pleasing to you.
Yes.
I have a young lady in the audience that wants to have something to say. I know you're not on the show today, but you were making a comment or you were gesturing about something when we were talking about being ungrateful. Speak up. Come up closer a little bit.
No, I was just simply saying that you were saying people who get a they don't care attitude. It's not always because that person is ungrateful. Everybody don't have that bounce back. And you can be taken advantage of for so long, or you have people take your kindness for weakness. And that person is really breeding, because that ungrateful person breeds another ungrateful person. You can only do so much to a person before they get that. And then we're at this point, I just, okay, whatever.
Okay.
They get that, okay, whatever. So it's not that you're necessarily ungrateful. The natural human instinct is to go for what they want when crisis was the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's to go for what you want. My needs come first, my business. That's why marriages fail. That's why a lot of things fail, because we fail to hear and listen to one another. Well, I take that back, not hear, but listen. I can hear you all day long.
But you don't listen.
But until I listen to you, I'm not getting what you're saying.
I can understand. I understand where you're coming from. And that's why I tell people up front in every show, it takes Christ to arrive at the truth. So the truth in what you're saying that years of emotional abuse or whatever, years of emotional dysfunctional attachment have caused some people to be the way they are. And that is so true.
Or not even that. It could be not... It doesn't have to be attachment. I'll use me as an example. Growing up, my mother taught me the world that I was taught was out there was not the world that I ran into. My mother taught me that your word is your bond. If you say something, that's what you mean. That's the kind of person you're supposed to be, which is she taught me right.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not necessarily what the world gives you.
Exactly.
So if it could be the smallest things, people have to realize what makes people ungrateful. We fail to realize that everybody else has feelings, and everybody don't feel like you.
Mm-hmm.
What may feel like a rock to me may be a pebble to you, and vice versa. So when you know, I had some horrible, horrible step brothers and sisters before. Horrible. They never took into consideration that I'm a young girl and I have feelings. People don't realize you just can't do anything to people, say anything to people, and then you expect no kind of comeback. The human mind is a wonderful thing. God designed it that way. Why do you think you have people who have split personalities and things like that? The mind will do something to survive.
Right.
And when you're faced with people who have this agenda that everything I want is how it's going to be, and whatever you want or whatever you're saying is irrelevant to me, it makes you feel, I hate to use the colloquialism, some type of way, but it does. Because at first you can take that, but if you just, even with me, the first time I was ever hurt in my life was by a friend. Someone was going to be my friend. I remember I was in the third grade. And in my mind, my mother taught me, if you say you're somebody's friend, you're their friend. And when that little girl turned her back on me over some crayons, something like that, it was something very small. But I remember being so hurt, because I'm like, if you're my friend, then why would you lie? Why would you take something from me? Or if my mother bought me those crayons, why would you steal them and then lie?
Okay, I understand now where you're going, ma'am, and I appreciate you offering that because we have so many people that feel that way that have arrived at an ungrateful attitude and an ungrateful personality because of things that have happened to them. And what I will say to this is why you can't discuss things like this without applying Christ. Now, everything that happens to one individual happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That reason, it's twofold. When you wake up every morning, you're going to either be presented with good
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be presented with evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's evil's job to hinder you, to hold you down, to sabotage your way of living, to sabotage that righteousness that you've been taught. And like the young lady said, she was taught right. So you're taught to act a certain way. And your acting a certain way should lead to you reacting a certain way. See, just because you're taught to act, you have to be well-versed on reacting as well. And when do you think, that's why I don't understand how parents can say, oh, I'll be so glad when my child gets 18, say, get out of my house. Well, you may be 18 years old, but you don't have the maturity to handle what that world has to offer you. And I noticed the young lady said what she was taught is not what the world gave her back. The world is just that, the world. The world cares about nobody.
Mm-hmm.
The world, they don't care. Who is the world? Not righteousness, not love. The world has no love. So this is why you give out good, but the world is going to give you something back to make you react as they react. So you have to come to the point where I'm not going to be sabotaged by anything that I've been taught, anything good. I'm not going to be sabotaged by that. So in order for me not to be sabotaged, I've got to reconstruct this myself within. I've got to be positively sound within. How do I get positively sound? You can't do it without the Word of God. That's the only thing. It's just like an alcoholic. Alcoholics will go from one generation in your family to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation, until somebody in the generation say, I'm not going to be an alcoholic anymore. I'm not going to pass this down to my child. So you have to get to a point where your ungratefulness has to stop. You can't let something trigger you into a negative, spiraling negatively downhill without realizing, I'm going downhill, but I've got to stop and reconstruct the way I react to things. Come on, Mr. Motivator.
That's a good point. I was thinking about, I have two beautiful sisters, and one sister in particular, I recall when we were growing up as kids, well, she would go to school and my sister was very beautiful, but there were friends or associates that would make fun of her, or they would say something to make her feel bad. And I remember one time my sister came home crying. One of her friends talked about her feet, made fun of her feet at school. Then another time, another one did something else. And then there was one that called her fat. And then I had an uncle that would call her fat.
Pardon.
Okay? But my sister was not fat. But again, that evil programming, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Was to take away her pride, her self-esteem. And as my sister got older, she dealt with self-esteem issues as
mm-hmm.
a result of that,
mm-hmm.
which led her into a spiral into drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I can recall her being in her room crying a lot of nights because of those evil, those mean things that some of the kids were saying to her. When we're ungrateful, we sometimes envy what others may have.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we should be grateful, you got beautiful skin, you got healthy hair,
mm-hmm.
you're still ungrateful because you dislike Lois because Lois has a different look than you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, because of you being ungrateful because of what you've been blessed with, and you not appreciating what you have, you go after the other person that you're jealous of.
Exactly. One thing you have to realize as far as how we react to a situation. First of all, what I'm passionate about or what I love that about my life and within my life or something that's going to stimulate my life, I'm going to fight for that position. I'm going to fight to have the right to be what I want to be. And when you find yourself fighting for the right to do that, the only thing you have to make sure is that you're fighting for a righteous position, the righteousness of Christ. Once you're fighting for that position, and that fight only means I'm going to walk the way I'm supposed to walk. I'm going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to walk with righteous intent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I do, I'm going to do it in a righteous manner. Now, once you start to mature, and your maturity has to come in the fact that, who am I? Or whose am I? Who do I belong to? And nothing out there can give you a greater sensation than to know you are already power packed when you were born. You know, I'm going to say this, and this is going to take you to a certain position. I've been a single lady for a number of years. And I've had the females ask me, girl, don't you get lonely sometimes? I said, yes, I do. And first of all, I'm not saying I'm so into the Lord that I don't think about a male companion. Because everyone wants somebody to take them to dinner or just to laugh with. You want to move up a step in your conversation without just talking to your kids. You know what I'm saying? You want somebody to challenge your conversation.
Yes.
So without that, and they were always talking to me about being intimate. Don't you want to be intimate? Don't you want to have a man touch you and things like that? And my response to them was this: I'm no different than you are, with one exception. If you have Christ and he's not a keeper, why do you have him? And to further explain to her what I meant, I said, when I need God, I can call on him, and I'm not ashamed. I can talk to him. When I want to feel power, when I want to do something, when I want his favor, I have it. And I said, I wouldn't trade that feeling for that little two-second feeling you're talking about with a male companion. I wouldn't trade that for the world. You have to think of your life in those terms, in everything that you want. Even your relationship with anybody, if you want to not be ungrateful, you have to present an ungrateful attitude. You have to encompass that in your day-to-day living. You have to want to see somebody else smile other than you. So it's a lot of things you need to think about before you say and do something, okay?
Well, I agree with you 100%. That's why I wrote my book, Success is an Attitude, because The people who have beautiful attitudes are grateful. And that you see their appreciation even for some of the little things that happen to them. Their child, their daughter, their son doesn't go to the store and buy them a great big expensive gift. They go and do something by hand and they create something. And you can see the love and the tears because they're so grateful because they appreciate the fact that child didn't have the money, but they had the time to do something for them. But on another level, looking at, and you mentioned about the attitude and about having Christ in your life, what about some of the leaders? I've ran into ministers and priests who were promoted to positions of authority. But once they got to those positions, they weren't grateful. Therefore, they treated everyone else that they felt like was beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
They treated them like dirt. I've even been out in the hallway, and ministers, when I spoke to them, they turned their heads the other way or they looked down on the floor. And I remember when I was a little boy, I saw one of my teachers in a store, and I ran up to speak to the teacher. "Hi, Miss So-and-so." And she looked at me and kept her head straight.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, it happened again with another teacher, only this time it was a man. "Hello, Mr. So-and-so." And he looked at me and turned his head and kept going. When I wrote the book, Success is an Attitude, I wanted to address that. When I became an educator,
mm-hmm.
To me, that made the difference with some of the students.
It does.
Because when I saw students out at the football games or I saw them downtown Dallas or whatever, I spoke to that student if I recognized them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would speak to me. And sometimes the student would come up to me and shake my hand. And I would shake hands right back with that student.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that student saw something different about me. That student looked at me and, wow, I feel important.
Yes.
There's a teacher addressing me.
Because, Mr. Motivator, you don't find teachers like teachers of old.
Yes.
When I was growing up and I was a little girl, man, a teacher was like a god to me. I respected teachers. These were educators. Man, if I saw Miss Jones somewhere and I said, "Hey, Miss Jones," and she put her hand on my shoulders and hugged me, man, I was in hog heaven.
Yes.
But now you don't have that. Teachers don't have that rapport with students. I don't think they care whether or not a student looks up to them or not. But I think they're in a position, the position they carry is a position that kids should look up to. And until we can get back to where teachers walk in that light,
yes.
I think it's something drastically wrong, and it perpetuates the ungratefulness that you have in the school system.
Yes.
This is why you have students that stand up and curse a teacher. They go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so we have to get to the point where we push a person to the point where they can begin to be grateful for what they have. And we have this young lady, we should have made you a guest on our show. We appreciate your comments. And come on, because you have something to say.
Yes, what it boils down to, it's not everybody can say each generation, "Oh, it's getting worse and worse and worse." The Bible says that. But where it starts is in the home. If you see your parents saying, "I don't care about nobody but my two, and that's all it's going to do. I don't care about what nobody else is saying," they're going to pass it on to the child.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the kids get around here and get the flopping off at these teachers, people say, "Oh, the teachers don't like they work. Kids don't like they work." You can tell something to a child now, you have to fight them. Not only them, you have to fight their mama.
Because the mama comes there acting the fool.
We understand that.
We have perpetuated for too long the attitude of it's all about me and what I want and what I say, and I don't care. The world doesn't work like that. That's why we'll all have the same small mind, be in the same small place we've always been, because we don't want to branch out beyond what we know. What's right here? This is it. This is all I know. This is what I'm going to do. Everybody has the American dream to be rich. That's everybody's dream. Everybody want to be rich. Everybody want to do this. I said something the other day, and we were talking about the young lady who I was talking to, and she was saying how she didn't have a lot of things, and she, you know, oh, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and oh, I don't know what I'm doing with this. Now, number one, I know for a fact she does have a lot more than most kids have. Well, she's not really a kid. She's 21. But she's a kid to me. She has a lot more than most 21-year-olds her age that they would have to sustain on their own. But you're not satisfied with that you have.
Exactly.
You want more and more. Now, that's ungrateful. Let me tell you why. Because it's been fed. If you have four pair of tennis shoes, why do you need 12? You don't wear that many pair of tennis shoes. You only have 2 feet. Why do you need 12 pair of tennis shoes? You can't, and you live in an apartment, and you don't have no car. Where are your priorities?
Exactly.
You're ungrateful because you expect for everything, and you see somebody else who has, oh, they have this and they have that, but what are they doing to get that?
That's what I'm saying. People don't know what people are going through to get stuff.
I always say, they say the grass is greener on the other side. But when you have some green grass, they put a lot of fertilizer in it. So you don't know what kind of boo-boo somebody had to go through to get that grass that green. You always have to think about that while you're talking about how green comes in on the other side. That's what
you know, and I can, I know I was taught to help people. To bless people. Let me tell you something I have a problem with. If I tell you I don't have any money, that means I don't have a dollar. It doesn't mean I've got a $100 bill and just don't want to break it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you come to me and you say, if Mr. Motivator, you tell me, Lois, I need to go and get my inhaler. You know, just say, for instance, you were asthmatic and you had to have an inhaler. And I need $10 to get, I would give it to you if I had it, but I just don't have it. Now, I got a $100 bill in my purse. That's your inhaler. Let me tell you what ungratefulness will do. Ungratefulness will let me lie to you and let you suffer with your health rather than me break my $100 bill and give it to you. I have a problem with people saying, I don't have it, but you don't have it just because you don't want to give it. And to me, that's ungrateful. That is so ungrateful. You have to get to the point where you want to help somebody. And let me tell you what I will do sometimes. I will give you my last. I would rather give you my last, and then I find a way to do something for myself than for me to tell you I don't have it. My son and I was in the park. We drove up to an SUV. We were looked after we got there. I realized why we had to go to all them. Every time we'd get to a parking spot, some car would get in it. So we kept going around and around until we pulled in right beside an SUV with the backup. It was a lady out there, two young girls, and a man. The man said, could y'all please let me have some gas money? He said, we just left out of the store. We bought, evidently they bought what they were going to buy on food stamps. He said, I have money. I just don't have my card with me. So my son had $5.
how much gas can you put in a car for $5? So he gave $5, and I put more with it to make sure they had a little decent gas to get that where they were going. That man told me, he said, y'all would be surprised at the people that I have asked and have walked by us and wouldn't do anything. I know we have people out there who scam all of the time, but who knows better who a scammer is than God does? And God plainly tells us to be aware of strangers, that we might entertain angels unaware. Let me tell you something. I have never starved a day in my life. I have never gone cold a day in my life. But you have to get in the position where you're not ungrateful. You know, it's hot. You put a ceiling fan on somebody, they're ungrateful. They want you to turn the thing all the way off. No, Mr. Motivator sitting under this ceiling fan, he's cold because he got wet. And I'm being very selfish because I'm keeping the ceiling fan going, and he's sitting over here, teeth chattering. Well, I think that I'm not going to be ungrateful. I'm going to have you turn that fan off of him so that he won't be cold. But we have to get to the point, and we're coming up here. We've got like 18 minutes to go. We're going to continue to talk on this subject. But I want to tell everyone that when we talk on different subjects and different tiles during the Let's Talk Truth, I'm convinced that these topics are given to us by Supreme Design to help us look inside of ourselves so we can detect our shortcomings. See, God knows what our shortcomings are, but we need to know what they are so we can allow him to correct them. Mr. Motivator.
This is a great show, and I'm really enjoying it, and it to me, it's very meaningful. I was taken back to another incident that I experienced as a younger man when I worked for a Fortune 500 company. I was one of the top producers at that particular company, and we had our annual convention. And everyone at the convention was allowed to come up on stage and get our awards, and also to meet the people in our company who've done very well, who've been very successful with producing millions and billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when all of us with my department went on stage and we stood in front of one of the top producers who'd given a great speech about being a top producer and having the right attitude. And when we went on stage in front of thousands of people, and all of us reached out to shake this man's hand, I was the only one that was refused. He refused to shake my hand. He said, I think I might have shaken your hand once before. That devastated me. And I put that in my book, Success is an Attitude, because I wanted to put some of my struggles in there to motivate others, to inspire them to go beyond that. But that devastated me. And when I got back home, it just began to just stay with me. And I was, all kinds of things were running through my mind. Why did he do that? Was it because he didn't like me? Did I do something to him? Was it because of my ethnicity? Why did he embarrass me like that? And I was hurt and angry. But it wasn't until a friend had encouraged me. They said, Jeffrey, I know that was hard. It hurt you, but you're going to have to forgive that man so that you can move forward with your life. And this wasn't easy for me to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I forgave that man, and when I forgave him, it seemed like whatever it was that was holding me hostage, you know, the anger, the disappointment, the guilt, it broke off of me.
It went away.
And from that point on, I decided I'm not going to ever, as long as I'm in a position of authority, I won't ever do an individual like that. If I can't help them, I won't say anything at all. And from that point on, I think that's when I became Mr. Motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started encouraging people. And when I became an educator, one of the things that the students got from me was motivation. Because I refused to let that student who was slow, that student that was an F and D student, think that he had no capabilities at all.
Exactly.
And I took time out to work with those students. And I had great success
mm-hmm.
with them because guess what? When they changed their attitude and they began to appreciate and become grateful about what they had and they felt good about it, their world changed.
Exactly.
And that's why I came up with the book Success is an Attitude, because when you are truly grateful, you will project an attitude that captivates people, that makes people feel good. But when you are ungrateful, you will repel people away from you. People will look at you, and they'll want to go another direction. They won't want to have anything to do with you because they can see it in your eyes. They can feel it in the atmosphere that's around because you're putting out that ungrateful energy.
Exactly. You know, one thing, and we're coming down to a close, but I want everyone that's listening tonight to realize that the way you react to a particular situation is what gives that situation power over you. If you have been fed the wrong thing that pushes you into an ungrateful state, then for you to continue in that state, you have given that situation power over you.
Yes.
Now, if coming down to one thing that I would go into the beauty supply places, most of us know who owns the majority of them and the DFW Metroplex. You go in there, I don't care how much money you spend, they're not going to touch your hand when they give you that change back.
No.
That's ungrateful.
Very ungrateful.
Now, I learned also that the person you give your money to is who you give your power to.
Yes.
So I stopped going in those beauty supply places. If I have to drive 10 miles, 20 miles to buy some hair products from someone that appreciates and grateful enough for my business, that's what I would do. But if I buy $100 worth of stuff from you and you are afraid to touch my hand when you're giving me change back, I have a problem with that. So rather than give you power to continue to treat me like that, I won't do business with you. And mm-hmm. until we get that in our head,
yeah.
But we don't care. I mean, you know, you have to get to a point where, well, I don't care. I'm going there anyway. Well, go ahead. You're the only giving somebody a stick to whip your head with. I always say this. Take the weapon out of Satan's hands, and he can't whip you with it. If you have come to the conclusion tonight that you have projected and produced an ungrateful attitude, it's time to stop it. Because as long as you have that attitude, that means you're holding something against somebody. You have an ought against that person. And like Mr. Motivator said, you have to learn to forgive people. And you forgive them not for their sake, but for yours.
Yes.
You have to forgive for your sake.
Yes.
Because you're the one that needs to be set free.
You know, when I recognize something that's going on in my life that's negative, I want to be set free from a negative, anything negative on me. I want to be set free from it. It's just like being caught in a trap. My daddy used to trap when I was a little girl. And he used to, a lot of people wearing mink coats. My daddy probably trapped and sent those mink hides to you. Well, the thing of it is, those animals were helpless in that trap. So once you have something hanging on you, you're helpless. You cannot get out of it except you set yourself free of it. So understand, being set free, if you're saying I'm ungrateful or what, make sure it's the or what and not the I'm ungrateful.
I agree with that 100%. And I would like to say to people that are listening tonight, this evening, if you're a victim of someone who's ungrateful, who continues to treat you bad and to treat you like you're less than human, I heard a pastor say once, go where you're celebrated and not where you're tolerated.
Exactly. That's what you need to do.
Dr. Murdoch said that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you really need to do. And it'll be so helpful to understand your plight and your position, knowing that every gift that you have is a blessing.
Yes.
Don't take your blessings slightly. It may not be what you're looking for, but believe me, whatever you're provided with is something that's going to bless you where you are. And I'm going to, the scripture, Philippians 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. If you're content wherever you are and knowing that your movement depends on your growth, when you grow inside, you're automatically going to move to the next level. You can't stay stagnant. You can't stay at a low place if you've grown to a high place. Once you're elevated within, you can't stay in that low place. So wherever, when you grow, you're going to move, and you should be content where you are, okay?
I would also like to point out there may be some symptoms that can be noticed that if you have an attitude or a spirit of ungratefulness, if you constantly always complain, if you're always mean and obnoxious and rude to other people,
mm-hmm.
if you're a leader in your on your job or in your ministry, your church, but you always keep mess up, you keep confusion,
mm-hmm.
gossip, you allow people to get in positions where they get hurt and they get their feelings hurt and their self-esteem diminished, you may be walking under a cloud of ungratefulness.
Exactly.
And you need to change from your wicked ways.
Mm-hmm. You really do. Because it's not fun to be ungrateful. And you have to realize the simplest things can cause you to project an ungrateful attitude.
Yes.
So wherever you are tonight, just know that Let's Talk Truth has examined it. We appreciate everyone that was here tonight. We appreciate everyone that's listening and will be listening in. I want you to know that you all are able to, you can write in right now to Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com. Write us. We appreciate hearing from you. We do get emails all the time, and we try to answer each and every one of them. If you want to send me an email, I promise you I'll read it, and I will respond to you personally. I don't have an assistant that's going to sit up and answer these emails. I answer them myself. I may get somebody to help me out a little bit, but everything you get back is going to come from me. It's going to come. They're going to be my words. So we're still doing magazine duty. In fact, I'm going to put this out there. I'm looking for some artists that can draw. So if you can, shoot me an email. You'll be compensated for it. And we'll show such a grateful attitude. So am I ungrateful or what? We want to thank the young lady that just out of the audience. It was just eating her up. She just had to get in and put her bid in. Want to thank her for being here and just participating. Thank Louise for coming, and she talked about the ungratefulness stems from our belief that we're entitled to certain things. Mr. Motivator, he has gone around the world in different aspects, walking in different places, experiencing different things. This is why he has a plethora of wisdom, plethora of stories that he can share. He's more than capable and knowledgeable on doing that. His book, Success is an Attitude, I'll say this, he has walked in those shoes, so he understands what it's going to take to keep a person motivated. This is why he has the title, Mr. Motivator. And I thank you for being in the position to motivate people, because sometimes you do motivate me and others on a daily basis. And I know that you have different things that might weigh you down, but you don't let it stay that way. The negative things might hit, but you're right on point. You just rise up and keep going again. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to change the way we project things, and the ungratefulness will go throughout this land if we don't stop it. It'll go everywhere we are. Because remember, if you're the one with the ungrateful attitude, every place you walk is an ungrateful place. So we have to get to that point where we realize that.
Could we get one of your security people, the lady on the fifth row, could somebody wake her up? Now, I don't know if she's ungrateful, but she's been sleeping doing most of the broadcast. Now, did she get too much alcohol? Or did she get up on the wrong side of bed? I hope it's not that she's not sleeping in her office because she's ungrateful.
Well, I really don't think she doesn't look like a person that's ungrateful. I think the seats are comfortable. You know, they're plush, and so she has a sense of security.
Oh.
And maybe she stayed up a little late last night, and we don't know. Yeah, and she could be praying, you know, hallelujah, raise up, open eyes.
Yeah, you're right. But I saw a couple of biscuits laying beneath her feet, so I think she may have overeaten.
Well, actually, I hope you didn't, because we don't like, I mean, we really don't put the food out in the audience unless she brought it in her purse. Now, if she brought it in her purse, then we might have to start shaking people down at the door. I don't want to do that. I don't want our audience to think we're ungrateful in any way, form, or fashion. We do thank people for coming in and sitting in our audience, and we try to make sure that our seats are very comfortable. So we'll just say that she's comfortable. That's why she fell asleep.
Yes. She's okay. We're not going to bother with her. But the brother who's been picking at his nose for most of the broadcast, hey, please don't shake hands with that guy when he leaves.
Oh, you're going to have to shake his hand. We're just going to have to make sure we put some Kleenex throughout the deal here. But again, Mr. Motivator does his job. He's a stand-up comedian, so he brings comedy everywhere he goes. But we just thank you, Mr. Motivator, for being here.
Oh,
thank you,
well.
Louise. Thank you,
well.
Young lady. We'll stop by and leave us your name so that we'll know who you are, and we'll acknowledge that when we do our overall concept of our shows. We want to acknowledge you because we really appreciate you stopping by. Thanks to our staff for supplying us with food and drink, and not up in the audience, though.
Yeah.
We didn't give that lady anything to eat or drink.
Yeah. And we want to thank the lady who left her dog out in the hallway. And good thing she didn't bring him inside tonight.
Well, yeah, we have to make sure people keep their pets. We're going to have a place for their pets. So thank everybody for being here. And as we say, this is Lois Bullock. And this is Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Thank you and good.